Over the next 3 weeks, I'm praying that God will open our hearts, our eyes, our arms to the people whom He has sovereignly placed in our circle. Do you realize that the people that you encounter every day, the people that you see regularly and those that you might encounter just on an occasional basis or maybe just on a one-time basis, do you understand today that it is no accident that they are in your circle? If we truly believe that God is sovereign in all matters of life, then there is no one in your circle who isn't there by the providence of God. That He has put you there. It is no accident that you come into contact with them. It is no accident that they are in your family. It is no accident that they live in your neighborhood. They are in your circle because God has sovereignly placed you there to touch them and to encounter them. And so it's no accident that they're in your circle. And so we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about this whole matter of reaching your circle, because God has given to us, committed to us, the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Now, there are different ways that we're going to challenge you. Of course, in our worship services over the next 3 weeks, but also on Sunday evenings and the other times during the week when our A2C groups are meeting. They'll start meeting again this week, starting tonight, and the A2C groups, most of our A2C groups are going to be doing a three-week equipping session called Becoming a Contagious Christian. And for the first 3 weeks of our A2C group meetings this semester, we're going to be focusing on that and equipping you to become a contagious Christian in the circle where God has placed you. Now, if you're not in an A2C group and you want to get in one, there's information in the brochure that's found there in the pews, or you can simply go online and register there, go to our website, or you can speak with one of your Sunday morning Bible study leaders. They'll help you direct you to an A2C group that you could be a part of. But if you're not yet involved or connected with an A2C group, we want to still provide this training for you and equipping for you to reach your circle. And so on Sunday evenings for the next 3 weeks, if you're not in an A2C group, we're going to provide the same training up in W201, the upper room of our Welcome Center. And we'll be teaching that equipping series, Becoming a Contagious Christian. If you're not yet connected with an A2C group, we want to invite you to take responsibility and prepare yourself and be trained and be equipped to reach your circle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I first became a Christian, or actually when I first got right with the Lord, I was saved as a teenager, but for the first 4 years, I just sort of, I made no progress in the Lord. When I became a college freshman, I got right with the Lord. And immediately, I started going to church, and immediately, I started reading my Bible, and I was so interested in spiritual things and talking to other people about Christ, but it soon became apparent to me that my family did not share my enthusiasm about spiritual things. I went to church, and they didn't. I read my Bible, and most of them didn't. And over a period of time, I grew to resent that. I became bitter about it because I felt that because they were not going to church, that they were rejecting me. I felt that because they were not interested in spiritual things, that they were rejecting me. And I wanted to see them change, but I really wasn't motivated properly. And so the Lord began to do a work in my heart. And I began to realize that probably one of the main reasons that they were having problems with being interested in the things of God, maybe that they sensed in me a selfishness and a prejudice against people who were far from God. And while I really wanted them to change, I wanted them to change more for me than what I wanted for God to do in their lives. Well, slowly the Lord began to change my heart. And I thank the Lord that over time, many of them came around. But it's a process, this whole process of God changing our hearts to where we see people differently and where we begin to desire to see a change in the lives of the people whom He has placed in our circle. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is about, this ministry of reconciliation. Now, what I want you to notice, first of all, is that there is the possibility of change in a person's life. There's a possibility that a person could change. And maybe you look around you and you see people who are so far from God, who have no interest in spiritual things, and you wonder if they could ever change. Could they ever be reconciled to God? Well, the answer to that question is found here in these verses. Let's just pick up in verse 16 once again, where Paul says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." Now, let me just pause here. You need to know something about the context of this passage of Scripture. You know that there are two letters in the New Testament addressed from the Apostle Paul to the church, the ancient church in Corinth. And the second letter has to do with Paul's defense of his own ministry. You see, there was the church in Corinth was a troubled church. And part of their problem was that they tended to look at people merely from a human or worldly point of view. And so there were these so-called super apostles and great orators who would come into Corinth, and they had the appearance, they seemed to be powerful people, they seemed to be charismatic people, they seemed to have authority, and they sort of compared Paul to these super apostles. And so they were comparing and judging people by worldly standards. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to them to say, listen, it's not right for us to see people simply from a worldly standpoint. They needed to look beyond outward appearances at the things that really matter to God. And so this is how Paul jumps in at how we look at other people. And he confesses that there has been a change in his life. That he says, now no longer do I look at people from a worldly perspective. No longer do I measure people simply by human measures. I'm looking at people with a new set of glasses, with a new set of lenses. I'm seeing them differently. And Paul goes on to talk about why he could see people differently. And we come to verse 17, a familiar verse to many of us. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And so we have to learn to see people from a different perspective. We have to learn to see people not just for the way they dress or for the language that they speak or for how they vote or the color of their skin. We have to look at people from a different perspective. And as you think about the people that God has placed in your circle, just think for a moment about them. Their faces. Do you see their faces? These are the people that you're around often, maybe in your family, in your neighborhood. Perhaps you are a part of some club or organization. The people that sit near you at a TCU football game. How do you view them? How do you see them? Do you see them simply from a human, worldly perspective? What they wear, how they talk, where they live? Or do you see beyond that to who they are in Christ? Or who they could become in Christ? And so Paul is reminding us today that we should not look simply at people. We should ask God to open our eyes. And I want to just challenge you today to develop a new habit. I want to challenge you to develop a habit of doing this. Of looking at the people around you differently. I mean really seeing them differently. I'm talking about the people who are sitting around you in a doctor's office waiting room, talking about the people sitting around you at a football game, talking about people sitting around you in a restaurant. I'm talking about people that are around you as you stand in line checking out at the grocery store. I'm talking about wherever and whenever people come into your circle. I want to challenge you to deliberately begin to try to think of them and see them differently. See them for the possibility that God could work a tremendous miracle in their lives by making them a new person. Because so often we look around and we do judge people by human standards, don't we? We go into a restaurant or we sit in some other place and we look at people and we see them. Sometimes we just sort of look down our noses at them for the way they're acting or for the way they're talking, or we just presume this or that about them. Could God give us new eyes to see people differently that He has placed in our circle? To see them for the possibility of who they could become in Christ, for the change that is truly possible for them. Now, the question is, have you given up on some of those people? Have you given up on them? Have you lost the hope that those people around you could change? And so you've just sort of pulled your little cocoon around you, and you're isolated and insulated from them, because you don't have any hope that they could change. And maybe you've gotten to a place where there's not even any desire that the people around you who are far from God could truly change. Maybe you're looking at your own life today and you're thinking, I can't change. I've battled this addiction for so long. I've struggled with this habit for so long. I cannot change. I want to remind you again of the truth of God's word, that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. There is the possibility, the very real possibility, that people can change. I want you to notice the only way that a person can change. And it's found in those words in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ. That's the only way a person can change. Now, to be in Christ means simply to be identified or united with Christ. This is what happens to us when we're saved, that what is true about Jesus becomes true about us. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. His acceptance before the Father becomes our acceptance before the Father. We are united, we are identified with Christ, we are in Christ. But it goes on, it means more than that. We're connected. We're connected with Christ so that we draw our very life and our very existence from who He is. And so this change that we want to see happen in the lives of our neighbors and our friends and our classmates, the change that we want to see happen in them is only possible if they are in Christ. Now, suppose you need to get from here to London in a day. And you begin to think about your options of how you can get from here to London in a day. Now, obviously, you can't walk. You couldn't walk there in a day. And besides that, there's this big puddle of water between us and them. You could swim, perhaps, but you're maybe not a great swimmer, and even if you were, it would take you forever to get there. So you begin to think about your other options of how can I get from here to there in a day. Humanly speaking, it's impossible, but there is a way. You can get in your car and drive out here to DFW Airport or Love Airport, Airfield, and you can get in an airplane. And that airplane can take you over to London, and in a matter of 6 or 8 hours, you're landing, you're on the ground in London. What was humanly impossible now becomes possible because you are in that airplane. And that's the way it is in Christ, that the change that we want to see happen in people's lives, the change in their behavior, the change in their language, the change in their outlook in life, the change in every way is possible only if they are in Christ. And the way that happens is for them to enter into a relationship with Christ by being saved. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they become a new creation. And so God can take a person who is most helpless, most hopeless, lost, and make them a new creation. All things become new. Now, you need to know something about that little word new. In the original text, it doesn't just mean something that's recent. When we talk about something new, we think about, well, I have a new iPhone. Well, what that means is you have the most recent version of the iPhone. But it's not really new in the sense that Paul talks about here. The word new here means to be new in nature, to be new in kind. It means to be totally, completely brand new. You know, when the Father created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says that He created everything from nothing. That when He created the earth and He created the universe, it was something new. It's a new creation because nothing like it had ever existed before. And so when Paul says that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation, you see the amazing possibility here, they can become not just a made-over person that like they used to be. They become a totally new person in Christ. That is the amazing possibility of change that can happen in the lives of people around us. And the old has gone, Paul says, and the new has come. In Christ, all those old things that used to dominate and control us are gone. The old you is gone. All things are new. Everything is new. And that's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Before they were under the wrath and the condemnation of God, but now everything is new. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul would talk about this in Ephesians 1:3 when he says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new person. The old has gone and the new has come. Now I want you to just think about this statement that you're going to see on screen. You can put it on in your notes. That is that this change commences with salvation, it continues throughout life, and it culminates in heaven. Now just think about that statement for just a moment. This change that is possible commences at a person's salvation, when they are saved, when they get in Christ. But then it doesn't stop there, because obviously when we get saved, we don't become perfect overnight. And the changes that God is bringing in our lives do not happen instantaneously. The change continues throughout life. This is what the Bible calls sanctification. But then the glorious thing is this change culminates in heaven. That is when the change will be complete. That is when it will be completely realized. When we're free of these frail human sinful bodies. And we receive our new resurrection bodies in heaven. And in that, we get to experience the full measure of our salvation that is in Christ in every way. And this is the change that people can experience. The people that God has placed in your circle. But this change that is possible is only possible because this change is powerful. There's not only the possibility of change, but the next thing I want you to notice is that there is power for change. The power for change. And we find that in the next verse, verse 18. Paul says, all this is from God. All this is from God. You see, this whole business of reaching our circle for Christ, this whole business of people being reconciled to God, doesn't start with us. It starts with God. All this, Paul says, is from God. Just like the first creation, God started it all. And in the new creation that happens when a person is in Christ, God starts it all. So all this is from God, he said, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so for this change to happen in our lives, we need to be reconciled to God. And notice that God took the initiative in doing that. This is very important. I know this is a very subtle distinction, but you need to get this. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That is, that God took the initiative. It wasn't that we came looking for God. It is that he came looking for us. We were the offending party. And it was God who reconciled us to himself. It starts with God. We had sinned against him. We were his enemies. We rejected him. And yet he is the one who came after us. God in love did something amazing. He reconciled us to himself in Christ. That means that by the coming of Christ and by the crucifixion of Christ and by the resurrection of Christ, that God was making it possible for us to be reconciled to himself and for the relationship to be changed. All this is from God. Now, you know, it isn't uncommon for us when we think about people who are far from God. Sometimes in church circles, we talk about them as seekers. Have you heard that phrase, that term describing people who are far from God but who have some interest in God and in spiritual things? And in fact, there are churches that are totally designed with the idea of attracting seekers, as though it all starts with us. But friends, I want you to understand and remind you that Paul says, all this is from God. He is the ultimate seeker. That means that the lost people that you have around you, you need to know that God is going after them. Whether you're interested in them or not, God is. So when you think about those people who sit around you at the football game, who are in line with you at the checkout stand, who are in your neighborhood or in the doctor's office waiting room, every one of them, God is after. And I tell you, I have to confess that it is hard for me to get my head around that. Because again, I tend to see people from a worldly perspective. And I oftentimes judge them for the way they talk or the way they act or the opinions that they hold. And yet, God is after them. He is the ultimate seeker. And it's true of everyone that you know. Just think about it. In the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in that perfect setting, put some parameters, put some barriers, some guardrails up in their lives, but then they chose to disobey God and violate that love relationship. He sinned against him. But look, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. The man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And verse 9, but the Lord God called to man, where are you? God is the ultimate seeker after those who are lost. And since that day, he's been the ultimate seeker. The gospel tells us the story of a crooked little man by the name of Zacchaeus. You perhaps know the story well. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to his town. So he positioned himself on a road there where he would get to see Jesus. He was seeking Jesus. But what he didn't realize was that really Jesus was coming to town seeking Zacchaeus. And when Zacchaeus was up in his tree and Jesus walked by, remember, he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today." He's the ultimate seeker. Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking. No, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. That is where it all starts. And of course, there were some people in the crowd that day when Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus and actually ate with this crooked man and the sinners who were his friends. And they were critical of Jesus for doing that. And that's when Jesus made that huge statement in Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." He's the ultimate seeker. Here's a couple of other statements I want you to just think about. First of all, no one seeks God who isn't first sought by God. Just think about that. No one seeks God who isn't first sought by God. We never seek after anyone who hasn't first been sought after by God. And you see, if you and I could get that viewpoint, that perspective, look at our lost friends through those lenses, if that could happen in our lives, amazing things could happen. Now, there's the possibility of change, and there's the power for change through what God did in reconciling us to himself. But then there's something interesting that he says here. It seems almost out of place. Again, verse 18, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation." He gave to us. That word "gave" means to give something of value to someone else. He's entrusted this valuable thing to us. God is the ultimate seeker, going after those who are lost, wanting to reconcile them to himself, making it possible through what he did on the cross through Jesus. And then he hands that ministry over to us. He's given to us this ministry. He wants us to be involved in this process of people being reconciled to himself. Think of it in these terms. You know, in baseball, one of the most important statistics that they measure for a player and for a team is the RBI, runs batted in. That's an important measure because most of the time when someone scores a run in baseball, it is because someone has batted them in. That is, that they hit the ball in such a way that they advance them around the bases to where they could score. They could cross home plate and score a run. Now, if you knock a home run and there happens to be somebody on base, that's an easy way to get an RBI. They can just simply trot around the bases. Or it may be that a player might hit a triple or a double and the players on base have to run hard to get around. Maybe even hitting a single, someone gets an RBI, a run batted in. And you can even fly out and still get an RBI. It's called a sacrifice fly, where you deliberately hit the ball up where you know it's going to be caught, but it's going to give someone time to make it home, to score a run, while sacrificing your ability to do so. But you just stop to think about this ministry of reconciliation. This is what God is doing. If you could think about not RBIs as runs batted in, but RBI as rebels brought in, think of it in those terms, that God has given you the ability, one of the most important stats in life for us, If we are entrusted with this ministry of reconciliation, is how many rebels are being brought in by our lives and by our witness, helping them to be reconciled to God, moving around the basis to where they can cross into that amazing life that is in Christ. Maybe I'm speaking to someone today and you're one of those people far from God, and suddenly you find yourself in church today. I want you to know that we're glad you're here, and that you're here not by accident. You are here today because there is a God who loves you and is seeking after you and is working things out and has brought you into this place to hear this message today, that it is possible that you can change, that you can become a new person in Christ. If you'll commit your life to Him today, if you'll put your trust in what God did for you, the Bible says you'll be saved.